it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hey Stars fans, it's Jeff Kay, public address announcer for your Dallas Stars, and you're listening to Starcastic Remarks, part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Go Stars!
Let's bang. Go! Bang. Bing bong. Welcome back to Starcastic Remarks, alongside my brothers Chris and James. My name is Ryan. We are the official Dallas Stars podcast at THPN. Go and use that promo code THPN the next time you go and use their services. The Dallas Stars have even the series, ladies and gentlemen. It is 2-2. Stars win 4-2 in game 4 against the Vegas Golden Knights. They steal one here tonight, honestly, in a game they probably got outplayed in, if we're being completely honest, but it does not matter. The game is going back to Dallas. Dallas has regained home ice advantage, and it is now a best of two. First to two wins. So, how are we feeling tonight, guys? How are we feeling?
Yeah, great game from the Stars. I mean, both teams have kind of done it now. They won a game where they probably were outplayed, but it was definitely close. The Stars outplayed them in the second period and cashed in big time late in the second period there, and that's the bigger deal. Vegas was dominating the first period, couldn't cash in, and then the Stars locked it down in the third. Yeah, Vegas had the majority of the chances. It was in the off-Stars zone the whole time. But the Stars locked it down. That is the best defensive period we've probably seen from the Stars this season, right there. So, yeah, you stole it a little bit, but, I mean, that's a great game. That's a great playoff road game from the Stars right there. That's exactly what you want.
Really where they stole the game is the first period. We were extremely lucky to get out of that first period 1-1. After that, yep. I thought the Stars played a great game. But that first period, pure luck.
Yep. Well, and a great shot by the daddy.
That's like the new spot for us to do, right? It's like we just have to shoot for the ear hole of Logan Thompson. It seems to be the only way that we can score on him. It feels like
he's always dropping early.
Yeah, that's true. I would like to point out this comment. Thank you, Ardella. I didn't even have to go and look for it. I don't believe this team is done, by the way. Mark my words and come after me if I'm wrong, but Dallas is going to win game 3 and 4. What did I say, guys? What did I say? I had my own James Stradamus moment there. It was excellent.
That.
I know. We're going to have to clip that now, too. Exactly. Man, this countdown video is just going to keep getting longer if we keep doing it getting right. biggest things for tonight, guys. We'll just jump from topic to topic as we go, but it finally felt like the bounces and the hockey gods were not 100% against the Dallas Stars tonight. In game one, in game two, in game three, that took every ounce of our being to win that game. It felt like every single thing went in for the Vegas Golden Knights. Tonight, that's not the case.
Yep. I mean, it felt pretty even overall. I think the Stars got a couple of extra calls, but that was more due to Vegas being stupid and just making dumb plays and just handing power plays to the Stars. And that's really what got us back in this game. Those two back-to-back cross-checking penalties for no reason from Vegas bring the Stars back. And then obviously the bounce off Deli, but the fourth line was buzzing on that shift. One had to go in, and that was right after Thompson made three huge ones. So Yeah, maybe a little bit. I'll say the bounces were even. I wouldn't say the Stars got lucky bounces this game, but they were finally even.
And a lot of the calls, I would say, Chris, is more due to the Stars being disciplined. I mean, that early high stick was really the only one. And then we took one at the end of the game, which felt like he kind of had to take. And that was honestly a great one to take. So it was fairly disciplined. There were a couple of missed trips on both sides and interferences on both sides, but
some cross checks.
Yeah, cross checks. I mean, they called two cross checks against the Golden Knights, and there were still more that they missed. But
yeah,
the Stars were sneakier tonight, that's for sure.
I think this game especially falls under the category of the good teams always find a way to win. And this was something that we didn't see in the regular season, especially at the beginning of the regular season, where, you know, we would have a chance to win a game, even though we didn't deserve to even be in the game or whatever, and we would still find a way to lose. Tonight, again, we did not play our best. We got a goal there in the first period. We did not deserve to be tied going into the first intermission, but we were. We didn't deserve to be up a goal, in my opinion, in the second period. And we
disagree.
Okay.
Very disagree. Go watch the second period again.
Well, but still, the fact that the Stars were able to do what Vegas couldn't do in game three and steal a game is huge. And this absolutely kind of fulfills my hope and my belief in this team again. And even though I was saying what I said and that I still believe the Stars could come back in game three and game four, you had to be honest and think that the whole situation looked extremely bleak. It looked very bleak. It didn't seem like it was a chance. Hockey. I hate hockey and I love hockey at the same time, Chris. Ever since you tweeted that you hate hockey, I'm going to Six Flags with my middle school kids next week. That's literally what this series, four games, has been like.
Yeah, we're barely halfway through.
Oh, we can beat these guys. Nope, down. Two games, we're talking, all right, this might be the end of the series. Right back up.
All the way back, yep. Yeah, and that's exactly what I meant by those tweets. Obviously, I don't hate hockey, but, man, when you're in those moments, it's like Stars doing everything. They can't score. Man, it feels like you hate hockey, but this series has been absolutely crazy. All four of these games have lived up to the hype. They've all been outstanding hockey games just from a pure viewership standpoint. And we were talking about this a little bit in the chat right after the game before this podcast, but this series just feels so much more like a playoff series than every other series that we're watching right now. I mean, these two teams are in a slugfest compared to every other series. No other series has gone 2-2 on games. Every single one is either a sweep or 3-1. And it's because one team has definitely been better in each of those series. This one is a dogfight. And, man, it's been so fun to watch. But, man, I wish this was the conference finals and not round one.
Right. That's exactly something I was going to bring up. I think it was Casey that said in our little group chat, this doesn't feel like the first round. This feels like a giant series that we should be seeing, you know, three rounds into the playoffs, which really sucks. This is fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. But
it sucks, but it's fantastic.
Yes, it sucks, but it's fantastic. Let's jump from one topic to this topic, and we'll kind of jump from player to player a little bit. We have to do it again. We have to do it again. It's Wyatt Johnston. It's Wyatt Johnston's world, and we're living in it. The quote of the night belongs to Razor, as it always does. Wyatt Johnston has been more golden in Vegas than the Golden Knights. That says it all right there in two games.
Yeah, three of the seven goals belong to Wyatt Johnston. He has been by far the best player on the ice. Even when Jack Eichel looks the way he does, Johnston's still outplaying him. It is insane what this guy is doing, and he is 20 years old. I mean, this is insanity what he's doing right now. He's doing it every way, too. He's showing off skill with stick handling, showing off his shot in the last
blocking shots.
The overtime goal. He's blocking shots. He's playing on the penalty kill, and he's sopping up some juicy rebounds by being in the right place at the right time with good positioning. I mean, he's scoring every single way right now.
And it's not for lack of shooting either. The dude has 20 shots through four games.
That's insane.
He has as many shots as he's been years alive so far, and we're only four games into this series.
But that's exactly what you have to do. Honestly, when you know that you're hot right now, which he is, it's not going to last forever. Drill into it. That's exactly what he's doing. He's doing it right. And you saw that from the odd man rush him and Sagan had going the other way. He had a chance to hand it off to Sagan. Probably would have been the right play. Nope. Holding on to it. I'm going to shoot the dang puck. That's exactly what he's got to do. And it's crazy that a guy 20 years old can recognize that and take control of the series the way that he has in these past two games. It's really incredible.
And one of the things that I love about him is he's a great player, but he's an even better person. And the way that he holds himself up, the way that he plays, he doesn't look or act like a 20-year-old. And that's probably one of the reasons why he made the roster at such a young age. He plays like a veteran. He's a second-year sophomore player, and he's playing like a veteran at this point. And he's playing at the most critical moments in the game. Even when they're up 4-2, they've already scored the empty net goal, what is he doing? He is single-handedly in the Vegas zone, you know, just to, like, keeping it under the icing line in the Vegas zone against the two defenders and going back and forth between the two guys. Like, he was doing it himself. And he got some help from I think it was Stankoven or somebody as well. But still, the fact that he had enough energy and enough hype to get in there and just to do that, you never know. That maybe that was the difference in the game and not allowing them to even get two goals going into the, and then maybe we're talking about overtime after that. You never know. But just the way that he plays, the way he holds himself up, the fact that he is the most clutch player right now for this Dallas Stars team. We're not talking about Roope. We're not talking about Robo, although Robo has been very good. We're not talking about Miro as much, even though he's been very good. We're talking about a 20-year-old kid who scored 20 goals last year, led a Stanley Cup contending team with 32 goals this year, and now he is absolutely trashing Vegas in their home barn, and he did it twice. Yep. And he was the best player on the ice in both games.
And it's not just eye test that's saying that either. Three straight games now, Johnson has the highest expected goals on the Stars team. I mean, he's everywhere all the time doing everything.
Yeah, not just defying odds. He's making the odds. And we talked about best player. I'm going to segue it, Ryan. I'm going to talk about the best line. The fourth line was crazy tonight. I mean, the depth of the Stars showing up big time. In a way, it hadn't in the first three games, too. It was pressure in the offensive zone from those guys from the start of the game. Maybe didn't materialize a lot in the first period. It's a lot of shots on goal or dangerous chances. But you could tell that they had that mojo in the offensive zone. And it got better and better as the game went on. And Dellandrea scores the game-winning goal off of his face in the crease. I mean, that's how you do it. That's how the fourth line gets into the series.
Yeah, and that goal was a long time coming, too. And they spent three or four shifts straight trying to get chances in on Thompson. And then getting rewarded with a grimy, lucky goal is it's fourth line. That's how it works.
Yeah. After Thompson saves three great chances that would have been beautiful goals, it takes the puck going off Deli's face.
He's just been excellent. The Wyatt Johnston, and as for the fourth line, look at all the hype for Craig Smith over here. Zachary Mitchell saying Craig Smith in capital letters all the way up the top. Eric saying, agree, Chris, Smith was great. Why did we ever take him out of the lineup? The only thing I can think of.
Huh? He doesn't play a lot is the one thing.
Well, who cares? He made a difference in overtime in game three. I even called him to get the goal in overtime. I was almost right a couple times. And the only thing I can think of is that he is just absolutely, you know, just he's fighting something with the injury bug. Again, I know I always jump to that, but that's the only thing I can think of. So
he could just be fighting the old bug too. I mean,
I really think that's what it is.
But down the stretch of the season, his minutes were getting lower and lower too. I mean, it's hard to keep up like that when you're older than everybody else on the ice. I mean, Pavelski could attest to that too with how he's played this playoff so far.
Okay, so go ahead, James. Go ahead.
He's a 34-year-old fourth line forward.
Yeah, and he's got to play that fourth line, physical, grimy play night in, night out. That's hard to keep up.
And I'm just going to be flat out honest here as well, because I thought it was a really interesting move considering how dominant he's been on that top line. But we saw that switch in the second period. It was sort of kind of towards the middle of the second period, I guess. And we saw Wyatt Johnston and Pavelski get flipped again, right? I don't want to say that that was a big factor in the game and that's why they won, but I still thought that was interesting. And I wonder what the context and the thought process was behind Pete DeBoer, because like Johnston and Robo seemed to have something going there for a little bit. And I know it wasn't clicking tonight, but he flipped them again. And maybe he's just, you know, just trying to keep the mojo going, keep the brain moving a little bit, you know, wake up a little bit. I don't know, but can y'all give me some speculation as to maybe why that is?
There's no speculation. Both goals tonight were scored with Johnston and Robertson on the ice. That line got scored on twice, and both of them, they could have been solved with harder back checking. And I think DeBoer didn't like that, and he just wanted more stability. You take Johnston, put Pavelski on there, makes it to where they're not going to try the huge rush up ice, which they got caught on twice, and they're gonna try a little more cycle, a little more dump and chase. I think that's really what the decision was tonight.
Yeah, and I think what it proved was that it doesn't really matter who's playing with Wyatt Johnston right now. Wyatt Johnston is the catalyst. It doesn't matter who he's with. He's going to be the best player on the ice. Even if he's not on the best line, like we were talking about, he's gonna be the best player.
Hey guys, it's Ryan here. The chase for the Stanley Cup is on, and if you're looking to light the lamp, nothing beats the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. From the start of playoff beards all the way till the hoisting of the cup, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odd boosts, and so much more. Just some interesting series winner props here for you for the playoffs. Stars right now are at a minus 140, which makes them a slight favorite. But if you look at some of the others, the Rangers at a heavy favorite at minus 450. And then even the Carolina Hurricanes at a minus 340. So some very interesting series winner playoff series props there for you. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with the code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved.
And that's normally how we feel about Duchesne, and that's normally how we feel about Hintz. This is a good segue into this. There have been some big key veteran forwards who have been completely invisible. I think that's the way you put it, Chris, during our watch along here tonight. It's Hintz, it's Duchesne, it's Pavelski. To a certain extent, maybe. That's not fair. But specifically those three players have been just completely absent. And I'm not sure why. Now, you mentioned this, Chris, during the watch along as well. Hintz made up for it. He made up for it there at the end. That right there is a playoff hockey play when you are fighting something hard and you can't get going, you're not scoring goals. You make a big time giant block. And then Pavelski gets you the puck. He pressures the D-man, and then you get the empty netter. That's what you do. That was huge.
I think Duchesne, Pavelski, Hintz is a lot more credit to Vegas than you think. I think Vegas is doing a great job of focusing down those guys. I mean, this is a hard defensive team. They showed it in the first two games. We couldn't get anything in those first two games. No one could. And it's just, I really think it's Vegas focusing, and I think they deserve credit for that more than anything.
That's fair. I think you can give a little bit of credit. But yeah, there's just, I feel like there's some times with each of those guys where I feel like there just needs to be a little bit more want to, like they need to find that second gear that everyone else is in when it comes playoff time. Especially I feel like Duchesne, when he's in the offensive zone, it's just, he's just not reaching for the pucks the same way he was in the regular season. I don't know, but I'll give it to Vegas a little bit on that one. But I kind of want to get back to the rope by hints thing, Ryan, because that's exactly true. That's such a playoff play from a guy who is on the struggle bus to not feel sorry for himself and to throw a fit and pout around the ice. But he's gonna take a block shot at the end of the game and find a way to get up and get right back in the slot right where he got hurt, and he gets rewarded with the empty netter all the way down the end of the ice. That is, if you're not going to play to the caliber that we know you can, that's what you got to do. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of game you got to figure out how to play when you can't get it going. And that's exactly what he did. Love that heart from Rope Hintz.
Yeah. And overall, I thought he did have a pretty rough game. It felt like when the puck touched his stick, it was just gone. It was in Vegas' hands
he
every time.
Couldn't get anything going.
And he had that one good backhander off the Pavelski 1v3 on the faceoff dot that he shoveled toward Thompson. But other than that, he really didn't get a great chance and had a lot of block shots, a lot of missed shots, a lot of bobbles with the puck. But the play at the end of the game, when we need him to be there, and that hit him on the back of the arm, by the way, that's going to be a massive bruise.
At least
if we're lucky. But that play is something that you need from your best players when they're struggling.
Yep. You got to figure out other ways to help. And that's exactly what he did.
Fair enough. I want to jump into the time on ice with defensemen conversation, because this needs to be mentioned, and we've done it two games and it seemed to work. He plays even less tonight, Nils Lundqvist does. He gets half. He played three shifts the entire game. Here's your breakdown when it comes to time on ice for all your defensemen. Heiskanen, 28.5. Harley, 23-21, who very quietly, I think, probably had one of his best games that we've seen him in a Stars uniform. Tanev, 22-04. Lindell, 21-36. Ryan Suter, 18-39. Again, he has been secretly very good. Nils Lundqvist, 1:09. He was literally on the ice only to give the top five guys a breather. Is this a recipe for success moving forward, or does this need to change in order for the Stars to continue being successful against this team?
I mean, you're just waiting until Hakanpaa comes back is all you're doing, and you're probably not going to see him till next series if we get there. My problem is, I'm upset when Lundqvist isn't given a chance. He's given a chance at the beginning of all of these games. His three shifts were at the beginning of the game, and he screwed up twice.
On every single
in
one.
Three shifts. Like, he's doing it to himself. His confidence is obviously shot when you're getting benched for full games like that. But, man, it really sucks to see the collapse of Nils Lundqvist, I guess.
And I think this is more a strategy against Vegas, because the Stars can't give the Vegas Golden Knights an inch, because they score every single time. And I mean, the perfect example for that was, we had one offensive blue line turnover tonight and they scored on it.
That's true.
They scored on it. We had a single one, Rope Hintz turned it over on the offensive blue line and they scored on it.
Yeah, and that's exactly right, James. I mean, this series is so tight. Like I said earlier, no other series is being played like this, but the Stars and the Knights are. And Lundqvist has shown time and again throughout this year, and even at the beginning of each game when he's given a chance, that he can't match this style of play.
Yeah,
I mean, he's playing himself out of the series.
Okay, so one thing we did talk about, Chris, was a bit of surprise in the lineup. in the fact that there was no lineup changes. Not so much on the forward side, because the forwards seemed to play really well, even though we have two really key guys for this team in Mason Marchment and Roddick Fox not being in the lineup. But this goes into the Nils Lundqvist conversation. We were a little bit surprised that he was still in the lineup and Derek Pouliot was not. Because if you're looking at differencing guys, these two guys could not be any more different, Nils Lundqvist and Derek Pouliot. Derek Pouliot is definitely a defensive defenseman first. Nils Lundqvist is on the offensive side. Nils is a young guy. Pouliot is not. He is very much a veteran in this league. I think he's 31 or 32. And then I think the one thing that may be keeping Nils in the lineup, maybe, is the fact that he's right-handed and Pouliot is left.
Well, it doesn't matter if he's not playing.
But see, that's what I'm saying.
He's not playing.
Right. Maybe that's the only thing keeping him in, because the three shifts he plays in the game, that's what he's being allowed to do. I don't know. But James, I want to get your thoughts on that, because were you surprised that there were no lineup changes, at least on the defensive side?
A little bit, but I think even if we have Pouliot in, with how last game went playing five defensemen, it worked. The whole game, all defensemen were able to keep up. It didn't look like they were slow. Do it again. I mean, and that's exactly what he did. He saw Lundqvist was still doing stupid mistakes, letting people around him, and they just played with five. You get to have every other good defenseman out there for another 3 minutes, and they've all been playing equally good, by the way. I mean, all five of those dudes have been fantastic the last two games. And I really think that's more what it comes down to. You have five amazing defensemen, all could probably play 20 minutes a night, and that can take up all the time. You don't need the fifth one. Take out your link. Take out the weakest link.
Goodbye.
Here's an interesting... sorry, Chris, did you have anything to add to that?
No, sorry.
Okay. And here's an interesting thought, or two thoughts here. Joe Baker, I say, play Bork over Nils. 13 forwards and 5D is better than 12 forwards and 5 in 5D. But then Zach points out the biggest thing, only issue is if you get a D injury playing 13-5, that is huge. That would be monstrous if that happened. And that's probably the only reason why Nils Lundqvist is in the lineup.
Well, the other thing I'll say about that is that the synergy between the lines is really good right now. And having a 13th forward in there can break that up. It can. I mean, that's what it felt like was the problem with our 4-on-4 play last game. I mean, it broke up the full lines and it just felt like they didn't know where they were standing.
All right, let's talk about one more guy, because he deserves a bunch of praise. Jay Gottinger. Jay Gottinger has slammed the door in the last two games. He has been fantastic. And the Stars played well in front of him in the third period, especially. We were hoping they wouldn't turtle, which at least at the beginning of the period, they definitely turtled. But then they were able to get some counterattacks in there, I guess you could say, and get at least some shots in there. At one point, it was 5-0 in shots, and it was like almost 10 minutes into the third period. And it wouldn't end that way. It would be 14-7 in the third in favor of Vegas, but still. But anyways, Andre has been excellent, and he deserves all the accolades coming to him tonight and in game three as well, especially late in the third and in overtime in the third game.
Yeah, for sure. And you talk about how the heck were we tied at the end of that first period. Go back and find some of those massive saves from Jake Ottinger. 4 or 5 huge ones in that first period. And then in the third even, it's not like they had no chances. They had 3 solid chances to score that Otto was able to lock down. And even some just stuff in front of the net that he was able to peek around and find. I mean, there was one shot that Vegas had that he didn't have eyes on. And other than that, he was able to fight through all the traffic in front and find a way to get eyes on the puck and be in the right position. So he's played absolutely fantastic. He loves playing on the road. He loves playing the villain. It seems like we got villain Otter back. Let's change all the colors in the AAC to gold, I guess, and trick him into thinking that he's back in Vegas.
Yeah. This is far and away this is the only game that he won the goalie duel. Even last game, he played great in the final bit of it, but it wasn't even close still. This game, he beat Thompson. I mean, it was clear. Clear cut, he beat Thompson. And that was the first time he's done it, and we really needed it because Vegas came out and they were really strong, like we expected them to be. They were really, this game felt more like Vegas played good and the Stars played okay, you know? They played enough offense like they want to win the game, and Otter held them to two. And if Otter can hold the Golden Knights to two, then we're gonna win every single time, unless we just disappear offensively, which isn't happening anymore.
We're gonna win.
All right. One more side tangent, and we're gonna do biggest winner, biggest loser. So be ready for that. The two big hits to start the game, that was awesome. I loved it. McNabb and Jamie Benn. Oh man, fantastic. I love the two hits. And then at that point, I thought it was gonna be like, oh, okay, it's going to be one of those games. And then it wasn't for the rest of it after that. it was kind of weird.
That's a perfect statement for both teams. Vegas needed to show up and say, hey, last game was a fluke. We're here. That's exactly what McNabb did with that hit. And then Ben was going to be like, you better not hit Logan Stankoven, and put him right back on his butt too. So both teams just were able to put what they wanted out there at the beginning of the game, just within 10 seconds. So it was awesome. Love seeing those hits. And the best thing about both of those hits, both guys that got rocked, just right back up. I mean, not even a hesitation, not even holding anything. You just immediately back on your skates going again. Man, hockey is fun.
But you hate hockey, Chris.
I hate hockey. It's the worst.
Okay, guys. Biggest winner, biggest loser. We're already at 31 minutes tonight. So who you got?
Wyatt Johnston, the biggest winner. He owns Las Vegas.
He's the biggest winner. Biggest winner is Jake Oettinger for me. He showed up big time tonight. We really needed him to be big, and he was.
Because I feel bad for him, and because y'all took my two obvious picks, I'm going to give it to Robe Hintz, the big block there at the end, and the empty net goal. Maybe that can get him going. I hope that can get him going, but that was such a big play. I mean, you look at those defining moments in a series or in a playoff run, and we could look back. I mean, like, how many people remember when we were down 2-1 to Calgary? Who got us the game-tying goal in game four, and we eventually went on to win game four? Joe Pavelski. Everyone's going to remember that goal. That was a defining moment in that 2020 Cup run. That block by Robe Hintz could be that Pavelski moment for this, at least for the short term. So I'll give it to him for now. So biggest loser.
Pietrangelo, you loser. He drugged the Stars out from the grave in that second period with the dumbest cross check. I mean, that was even dumber than Delandria's in the first 5 minutes. And then just totally blows the exit to give us the third. I mean, shocking to have both the goals in the second period come from Pietrangelo.
James?
I don't know. I honestly don't know who to give biggest loser to. Really the only thing that I can give it to is the one turnover from Rope on the blue line. I mean, that was the mistake in the game, I thought that was going to cost them big time, honestly.
And that just shows how close the series is, dude. We had one bad turnover on the offensive blue line. Goal in the net. That's what Vegas does.
So what we talked about, me and James talked about it in the last game. You against Vegas, you have to be perfect. They made one mistake, one giant mistake, and it ended up in the back of her neck.
Especially this Stars team, that seems to be their weakness, is those turnovers on the blue lines, both sides. I mean, that's been killing them all year long. They've limited it as much as they could going down the stretch, and you just got to have none now.
I'm going to steal Martin's because his is better than what mine was going to be. Can the biggest loser be every other series in round one other than this? Yes. Martin, you win the comments of the night. That is perfect. I love that. This is the only series that is competitive. There's two series already done. The Rangers swept the Capitals. Who would have seen that coming? And then the more surprising one, and the Battle of Florida. Florida handled Tampa Bay just fine. So we're going to have to see how the rest of these series go. Will the teams that are down 3-1 push back in game five. There will be a couple that do, but I still think most of those series are going to end in six. I'm hoping this ends in six, guys, but I don't see it ending in six.
I mean, this is going to go seven. I'm going to push back. The Stars have all the momentum going back into Dallas, and we know how good they are in game fives and six. I mean, they dominated those last year. They struggled at the beginning of each series, and then once they figured it out, man, did they figure it out. It seems like the Stars might have figured it out. I mean, I'm not going to count those chickens. I'm not going to say that for sure because we've seen how good this Vegas team and how close every single game has been. But I wouldn't be surprised because the Stars have a history of rolling through game five and six.
It's just until they can win at home, there is that smidgen of doubt there in my mind, at least, Chris, because no team has won at home in the series. Nobody has won at home. The only series to do that, talk about the only series going 2-2, the only series where the A team does not win on home ice. So they win on home ice in game five. I think they win the series, regardless of if they lose game six. That's just my personal opinion.
Wow, hot take.
I know. Yeah, it's not really much of a hot take, but
yeah, what's the percentage? Like 75% of the
it's
teams?
It's really something, high. It's something ridiculous. Yeah. Here's another comment of the night. Our sister Casey. I wish we could stay in Vegas. I mean, at this point, I slightly agree with you. I slightly agree with our sister there. So, okay. I think we're done. Anything else?
Man, all the momentum is back in Dallas. Can you imagine how the AAC is going to be rocking for a game five after the Stars come back from the depths of hell? It is going to be
More bonkers than game one. Even more bonkers than game one.
And it's going to be in prime time. We talked about how big this game was. Obviously it was, but this just gets you back in. This confirmed that the Stars are back in the series. Game five, that decides who wins it. Everyone talks about how important game five is. It is the most important game in any series. We know the percentages, and it's in home ice with a Stars fan base that's going to be fired up and ready to win a hockey game. Man, I like the Stars' chances. I mean, to come all the way back from that, all the momentum in your home building that's going to be going berserk, it's going to be crazy.
No other team could have done this, guys.
No other team could have done this. Agreed.
Not even the Rangers, not the Tampa Bay Lightning, not the Panthers. Nobody could have done this except for the Stars. And are we biased? Absolutely. We are. But
it's true, though. The best road team.
It feels true. There are stats that back it up. There are stats that back it up. So, okay, guys. Game five. Wednesday, 6:30. So basically 6:52, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And we finally get a legit start time, and it's on Wednesday night. I hate it. I absolutely, it's a win-lose for me. But either way, we're going to try to be around. I know some of y'all are asking for a Game 5 live stream. I don't know if we can do the first period, maybe like halfway through the second period. We can talk about that afterwards, guys, off air. But, man, I love hockey. I hate hockey. This has been the greatest series in the world when it comes to an emotional response from us. And, I mean, I'm sure Vegas fans are probably feeling like we did in game two right now. I mean, you have to be. You have to be. You had all the momentum. You lost it all. And now it's going back to Dallas tied 2-2. This is going to be a fantastic run the rest of the way, guys.
All the games have been fantastic, and there's no reason for the rest of them not to be.
Yep.
By the way, this is the first time we've been live on Instagram. So hi to all of you who have been on Instagram. There have been a couple of y'all on there. But we're going to wrap it up here. StarcasticRemarks.com is the website. Go check it out. Thank you to DraftKings Sportsbook. Use that code THPN the next time you are there. Along with Chris, along with James, my name is Ryan. And as James tries to hold back a yawn, we will catch you guys on the flip side. Hope you guys have a good, fantastic morning, afternoon, evening, whenever you guys are listening. This recording is ending at 12:30 in the morning on Tuesday. Chris?
That dragon is tiny. GG, boys.